Welcome to the Good Clean Talks podcast, episode number 4, I think we're at. I don't know. I lost count, because, sound malfunction. Give me 1 second. We've actually recorded, probably 6 or 7 podcasts now, but, you know how, like, when we were doing sound check on the last podcast, and,
it didn't work because we were recording in the wrong place?
Yeah, because it was recording on the, internal mic on the laptop. That happened for 2 episodes.
Sucks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of content that's just lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about some really fucking cool things, too. Unfortunately, they're all gone.
Never to be found again.
Nope. I mean, one day technology gets to the point where we can clean up that content, I'm sure, and release it if people want to, like, suffer through listening to it, but...
Why they'd want to do that, I don't know.
So this is the Dark Tower Talks with Damien and Dolan. I'm Dolan.
I'm Damien.
And we're going to talk your ears off about some boring shit once again. The Dark Tower.
It's
a book series by Stephen King that is essentially the backbone to... most of his works. I'd say most. But, in The Dark Tower, he explains that all of his books are connected in some way.
I don't know
even
if I would
very
say.
Very loosely. Yeah, because there's...
Backbone. That's too straightforward of a perspective of it. Now, while there are many books that do touch upon The Dark Tower and in some way correlate with the main 7 books... and its main characters. It's more like a...
Oh, okay, so we'll put it this way. In the Dark Tower books, throughout the course of it, it follows the main character, the protagonist, Roland, who isn't exactly a hero, but he's kind of a heroic figure, but he's a very bad person.
I wouldn't say Roland's a bad person.
No, he's doing good, but he is a killer. He's a cold-hearted... stone cold killer.
No, he's a gunslinger. There's a difference.
Yeah, I mean, he's in favor of the white, not the dark.
I wouldn't say he's a bad person, though.
No, but I wouldn't say he's the best.
No, he's definitely,
he's very one-sided. He's very dry as well.
Well, he has no choice but to be.
Right.
Although he does, I really can't really say that he's too dry in the sense he does
start
to
loosen
up.
Eventually. Towards the end, yeah. Towards the latter half of the journey.
Now, between... my microphone.
I'm working on the microphone. It's not exactly the tightest setup, so it keeps slipping. But, I'm slouching.
Your girlfriend.
So... sorry for the interference and the sounds. I know you can hear them, but, I'm just working on getting it right. Anyway, Roland,
The first book, especially...
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like, up, just chasing the man in black down.
Mm-hmm.
Up, there's this kid.
In the second book, he's sick and pretty much out of commission.
He's kind of dying in the second book for one of the first few times that he has to deal with that.
He ends up getting his fingers bitten off and gets an infection.
I don't get bit off, they get cut off.
Oh, that's right, by the lobstrosity's claws.
Yes.
It's a giant lobster, essentially, with claws. And
well, lobsters have claws. It's more like a mutant lobster from your nightmares. It would be a good way to describe the lobstrosities.
Yep. Dada chum. That's what they say. It's interesting shit. Oh. Sure, he's here with us, but he's not participating in the podcast. I'm saying if you're going to take a phone call, though, you should walk away since we're... I can hear you. You just weren't saying anything.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Hello?
You're interrupting the podcast, sir. We don't have a sound studio or anything. We're set up very unprofessionally. We got a couple of mic stands to where we can like relax and talk in the microphone, but we don't have 2 working microphones. And my neighbors are playing like Spanish music and there's no soundproofing or anything going on. We don't have a professional setup. We're getting in the swing of things. I'm trying to get 10 or 15 hours down before we fully transition over to the professional aspect of the podcast.
So this has no direction, much like most of your lives.
Well, love you, listeners. Yeah, we're just getting a feel for things, but we actually have decent subject matter this time, the Dark Tower of Books. If you're not a listener, you're not going to enjoy this podcast. I suggest skipping over it, but... Or if you're not a reader of the Dark Towers, rather.
Which you are seriously missing out on.
Oh, yeah. Some
wonderful literature.
So if you've gotten this far and you haven't read the Dark Tower, what you need to do is, instead of listening to a fucking podcast, you need to turn your computer, your cell phone, your iPod off. And go buy... The Gunslinger.
The revised version.
The revised version. Don't do the long one that he wrote forever ago, because it's not relevant.
It's not okay.
Or keep your phone on and download it on Kindle, but I definitely recommend paper books. But regardless, the Kindle app is cool because you can touch the word that you don't know, and it'll pop up with a definition.
Yeah, I have like over 107 books on my Kindle app, so...
Mm-hmm. It's convenient. Instead of carrying a fucking library around with you on your back...
Libraries are good, though.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing like... fucking paper books, and you can smell the pages.
And... love the smell of parchment in the morning.
Almost as much as you love the smell of cock in the morning, right?
No, I'm not you. Thank you, though. And back to the Dark Tower.
Right. So, the books follow Roland, and, it starts in a world called Midworld that's much like our own, except for many years have passed and the world has moved on, so to speak, meaning that the world has kind of thinned out. You know, there used to be technology, machines, and big businesses, but it returned much to a world much like the Old West, our Old West. Roland is kind of like a cowboy, but he's a gunslinger. He has six shooters strapped to his hips. And, he was...
His father's six shooters.
Mm-hmm. He was trained, in the town of Gilead to become a gunslinger and to, you know, protect people and do good and...
Fucking Court.
Yeah, by this guy named Court who would, like, beat the fuck out of him and shape him into a gunslinger. Yep. But Roland sure owned him, but we'll read the books. Read the books, fellows. If you have not read the books, then you're not gonna get this podcast.
Could you describe... the overall setting for the books as a post-apocalyptic wasteland?
I would describe the books as not even a post-apocalyptic wasteland. In a sense, post-apocalyptic in Roland's world, but that's not our world.
One of the assignments for my English class was to pick one of my favorite books and to go on it. Granted, I didn't pick the Dark Tower books. Forgive me.
You were thinking about it, obviously.
Well, I was going to. I went with Patrick Rothfuss's The Name of the Wind, which easily one of the best books I've ever read in my life. But one of the other students in my class did choose The Gunslinger.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, it was... Yeah, and The Gunslinger. Not even like any of the other books. It was The Gunslinger that he picked, which made me happy. But he described it as a post-apocalyptic wasteland. And
not exactly.
I wanted to go into detail and to tell him while he was wrong, but...
He didn't speak up?
No, I just didn't want to shame a poor dual-world college student.
Oh, it was a high school kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Freshman comp one, so... And he was totally wrong. Which leads me to think that he hasn't read any of the other ones yet. Which is why I wanted to get your input on the fact of the setting of it.
I can see where he's coming from, but... So, in The Gunslinger, it doesn't exactly talk about that it's a different world than Earth. Than our world.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
It does. It's...
But maybe when, like, Roland comes across Jake, and they talk about it a little bit, they go into detail, but, I mean, they talk about Israel, and they talk about many places in the Middle East. They do mention names of countries.
They do, but they don't directly state that it's a different place, but the context of the story tells you that it's not,
yeah, quote unquote, which is why I can see where he's coming from, because he's a high school kid. The context does hint at that. And honestly, reading it through, like reading the whole books, I did have this, you know, half baked notion in the back of my mind that it may have been this Earth, but many years, like continental drift, everything fucking changes. Science comes in, and they assemble the beams and the technology, but the tower doesn't exist in this world. It's a rose, unless maybe the tower is New York. And they go to New York.
Oh, no, the tower is definite. Well, where the tower would be in our world would be where the rose is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the rose is so important. Definitely a lot later on.
It's really fascinating. It makes you really wonder about reality itself. The fact that Stephen King's characters actually came out of the book and met Stephen King, let alone met him multiple times, let alone saved his life. It's insane to think about.
Fun fact, he was actually in that car accident.
Yeah, he was in a car accident in New England, and he survived it. And later, you know, when he's wrapping up the Dark Tower series, towards the end, you know, some of his characters actually travel to his world and prevent him from dying. So what if that really happened, man? Because if you really get into, you know, the universe and thinking about really trippy shit like that, there's no way to know. He wouldn't even know. He wrote it so that he wouldn't know or be sure of it.
Well, from the standpoint of the book, he wrote it because he had no choice. Because he was the speaker.
Possessed by the demon Gen.
Goddamn fucking turtle. Giant fucking turtle. Whole book, entire premise of the whole thing, written completely by a giant turtle. Where does that make any sense?
Stephen King is a dick. I remember reading this book and shouting that out. Like, I'm chilling with people, right? Like, I'm at work, and I'm sitting, and there's people in the fucking room, and they're doing their tasks, and I'm on a break, and I'm reading the book, and things were quiet, and I would just be like, God damn it, Stephen King! This dick. He's a dick. But it's like one of those things that gets under your skin
just
so much.
For more. Like, you just can't stop.
He roots so far under your skin that the book becomes part of you.
That splinter you'll never be able to get out.
No. No, my heart is forever broken.
What heart? He tore it away.
Yeah. Oh, man, if you guys haven't read The Dark Tower, you're missing out. But if you're still listening, then you probably have. Definitely comment on the YouTube channel. We're trying to get these podcasts posted to YouTube, too. Like, just with, a background image and audio. So if you're watching on YouTube, definitely comment. If you, comment your thoughts about The Dark Tower, or, email, goodcleangoods@gmail.com, and, maybe we'll post some of your shit or talk about it. And if you have any questions or anything in later podcasts, we'll definitely address them. Yeah, buy my soap, Good Clean Goods, LLC. Check it out. We're on Facebook, goodcleangoods.com. We have our website, order our soap. It's wonderful, it's great for your skin, it's natural, it's clean. You know, that shit you buy in the store, some of it's good, but a lot of it, no, it's not even soap. Pay attention to your labels, folks, because sometimes you're buying cleansing products or body wash or nowhere on the packaging is it legally permitted is the company legally permitted to say that this is soap. It's twisted, it's really twisted.
I think some good, clean, good soap would have came in handy after Roland and Susanna got done. Because they definitely needed to clean themselves off after that fiasco.
Got done at the, where at?
Oh, after, they do the dirty.
They do the dirty? Roland and Susanna?
Where do you think?
Oh, the demons? It was in a demon ring.
Okay.
Roland and Susanna never fucked.
Oh, yes, they did.
No, see, what happened was Roland in the speaking ring after he met Jake, when Jake was with him in the speaking ring, the demon came, took his jizz, told him his prophecy. Later, Susanna was in the speaking ring, and the demon fucked her in order to let Roland have access to the portal to bring Jake through. And in that moment, that same demon took the biological information from Roland and put it in Susanna. They never actually fucked.
Beautiful. Well worded, sir. Just testing your knowledge. That makes me very, very happy.
Right, okay.
Oh, bitch, please.
Go back and do the audiobook, because it's a different experience.
I don't know if I could listen to someone read it to me, per se.
Yeah, I get that, but like when you're driving and shit, you could just throw it on, and it's pretty cool. But definitely, if you're going for the first time, read it.
Hardbacks. Hardbacks only.
Or fucking do it on Kindle. What does it matter? You're reading it. I smell that paper. Like a good cock in the morning.
How do you feel about where it ended up at?
The very end?
Yeah.
How do you think I feel? I mean, my heart got ripped away. It's just the screensaver. The backlight went off. It's still recording. Yeah, how do you think I feel about it, man?
I mean, we were warned.
We were warned. Stephen King was like, straight up,
do not finish this book.
Don't read it. Don't read it, guys. I mean, it just rest assured, but I mean, for those of you who need resolution, go ahead. But don't say I didn't warn you. And man, I want Shorty to finish it, so I don't want to, like, you know, go into extreme detail with the ending. Your cousin's at the hospital? What for? Her stomach? Is she gonna be okay? Are you going to, head out, or? True. Dude, that sucks. Are you gonna go to the hospital, or are you just gonna go home? Damn. My sister could actually possibly go into labor at any minute now. So far I haven't had, like, heard word that she has, so. But she definitely might pop out a child tonight. Yeah. Yeah, man, the ending is fucking ridiculous. But I love the fact that it did not end exactly the way it started.
Yes, it did.
No. The horn.
For all intents and purposes, it ended word for word.
Yeah.
Beat 'em.
Yeah, the man in black fled across the desert and the gunslinger followed.
Yes.
But the horn.
Yes, that changes
everything.
Lots of things, but
it makes you think, and it just implies more. That's why I love literature, because just the fact of the horn being there and Stephen King mentioning that changes. So it implies more than any other line in any other book that I've ever read, because it implies that everything else happened over again differently.
Well, many things happen again differently.
So
they're a series
in a different world. Roland. Freeze.
Oh, they're not. They're not in a different world. They're on a different path, different beam.
Roland frees the breakers in a different world. Stops the collapse of the tower all over again.
One of my favorite parts of the whole thing.
What?
When he frees the breakers and they go ham on the camp.
Oh my god. And Shimi, who saw that coming? Shimi is still alive. What? It's fucking awesome. All right, Shorty's gonna take the mic.
Hey. Okay. So the short's out of here. I gotta go to my house to go meet up with my uncle, so I'm just telling the fans to stay sexy, stay healthy, and get laid.
Stay sexy, ladies and gentlemen. The Too Short.
Wise words.
Peace, brother. Thanks for podcasting, kind of, at least on this one. This is our second podcast of the night, so he was more involved in the first one. He maybe said those lines just then. For this podcast, it's pretty much all he,
don't kick the ball out of the night.
Yeah, watch out for the...
Don't fucking... If you fucking spill the room again, I'm gonna spill your brains.
Why don't you move the chair back?
You know what, man?
Why don't you stay? Just stay.
And he broke down.
And he's set. And he's still here. Ladies and gentlemen,
that was
too short.
Absolutely pointless.
Oh, excuse me. I've had a few too many of these, moons tonight.
Cheese and rice.
Jesus Christ. Cheese and rice. Cheese and rice. Shorty, what are you doing? Because if you're going to talk, we need to hand you a microphone, but I thought you were leaving, so.
I was supposed to be. I sat back down because something happened.
Okay.
I see. Why don't you kick over the room, Mike?
What you should do right now is
you should move
scoot back.
Room.
Scoot back in the chair.
Okay.
I will pick up this bottle of rum.
Uh-huh.
And you may leave. I love you.
Now you have my permission to leave.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's
great.
All right.
Great.
I like your shirt, Mr. Darkside, with the Darth Vader and the Stormtroopers on it.
I'm trying to remember. Shorty,
you're just being disruptive now.
No, bro. It's
Darth
Vader.
Oh, yeah.
Darth Vader rap
battle. Oh, okay, well, I don't know about that. And you don't have a microphone, so.
Yeah, no, I don't remember the words.
No,
anyway.
It doesn't.
I was just telling you about
it. Alright. Okay, I love you, Shorty.
please excuse this emergency.
Give me a hug. I'll see you.
Our listening audience.
Yeah. Rada. Well, I mean, Rada. I hope I'm not the one being belligerent. It's just he doesn't have a microphone. Rada. Or, like, okay. Rada. All right. Yeah, Rada. No, he's definitely being belligerent. All right. Love you, Shorty. Rada. Goodbye, Shorty. Rada. Leave, Shorty. Rada. Please, Shorty. Rada. All right. Rada. We love you. Rada. Ladies and gentlemen, the Too Short. Now I have a bottle of rum in my hands. This is convenient.
I'm Why is the rum always gone?
Because I've been drinking it straight. Wait. Hang on one second, guys. What, Shorty?
I think I lost my keys. Are they over there?
They're probably over by the fire pit.
Probably.
Once again, we're recording things in my backyard. And, not soundproofed or anything. That's cool. Drink some rum here. What did you, What did you think about Went Through the Keyhole? Because I never finished it.
Where'd you get at in it?
Quarter of the way through. Started, after they cross the wire and the storm is coming,
did
they're
you get
close to the down.
The Stark Blast?
And, no.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I'm past the Stark Blast.
Did he start telling his story?
He started telling the story.
Where in his story did you start?
After the train ride, the whorehouse. Because I haven't read it yet. I might as well assume, like, just go ahead and spoil some parts. I'll read it, even if I get spoiled, because it's the last book, and it's a piece of
There's not too much I get spoiled in it.
Yeah, I mean, I hear it doesn't matter too much.
No, it brings emphasis to points that Roland makes throughout the series itself.
Okay.
So he's telling the story of how he became a gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting the backstory of him, his training, him taking care of Court, how his mother ends up getting... what's the word I'm looking for?
It was after she died, wasn't it?
No.
Before she died.
It's like the very... It's while that's kind of going on. It's towards the very end, like the very beginning.
Does it go back to Gilead after the...
Yeah, no, they're okay. There. It's him as a kid. He's still training. He hasn't become a gunslinger yet. He's yet to have his father 6 years.
Oh, so this is before Mugis.
It's very important, actually.
Is it before or after Mugis? It says he was a young gunslinger.
It's right after...
I feel like it was after Mugis, just by what I've read from it.
It may have been his...
Thinking.
I'm thinking it's been a while since I've read this particular story, or any of the stories.
I'll just read it. I'm not meant to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, you kind of want to go with it. It is very, it's important when they're in the mining town, and they're... after his father sends him on his way.
After, like, a shapeshifter or something, right?
Yeah. It's fucked up. It's not so much a shapeshifter as it's wearing the skins of its victims.
Oh. Now, on the cover of the book, there's a tiger. Am I thinking about something else?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no tiger on the cover of the Went Through the Keyhole.
Alright, I thought for some reason I associated a tiger with that. Like,
no.
There was just a tiger there.
No.
There was some weird Dark Tower shit where there's just a fucking tiger.
Mm.
Kind of like Lost, where there was just a polar bear on the island. Like, the fuck is that doing there? You wanna dive into Lost a little bit here?
Fun fact, I was convinced that they are not all dead.
They did die eventually, but they were not dead the whole time.
I was under the assumption that they were dead from the second that plane crashed, and they weren't.
No.
And I had my mind completely reassembled. Katie's girlfriend.
Who?
Or Katie, Eric's girlfriend, the drummer for Approach the Line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his girlfriend put that in perspective for me, that they are not all dead as soon as the plane crashes.
No, they're definitely not.
That's their purgatory.
Explain that. Yeah. Well, it's the land that they created after they died.
Yeah.
They
couldn't have created after they died because they're not all dead. If they created after
they did. They all died eventually.
Yes. But
and then they all created
they
that together.
They weren't. It was, oh my god.
Like, their souls, after they all died, went to the dimension that they created after the bomb was set off.
That was back them.
It split reality.
Closing
into.
The ties that were still tethering them to this world.
Mm.
But they were not all dead. Those
I feel like what they used Jack's father for, what they used Christian Shepherd for, was a little too much. I feel like this shouldn't have been Jack's dad. I feel like just the dead figure that went to the island that Jack had issues with. And, I mean, I realized that the whole show kind of followed Jack more than anybody. It was more his story.
Fun fact, he was supposed to be dead after the first season. They weren't even
going to come on. Yeah, they were supposed to use an actor that was more famous. And, but they decided to keep him around. I mean, you gotta admit, though, it was very poetic, the entire show. Spoiler alert. Sorry, if you haven't watched Lost either, then, you're fucked. Go watch it. Turn this podcast off, or skip ahead 5 minutes, and, yeah. I love how, like, the show opens with Jack's eye opening on the island in the picket of, bamboo. And there's a tree, there's a shoe in the tree. And then he runs out and hears the shouting and goes towards the plane that's crashed. And the show ends with Jack after he, you know, put the fucking plug back in the electromagnetic crazy heart of the island bullshit.
The plug is a giant stone ball, by the way.
And he ends up, like, stumbling from where he wakes up into the bamboo forest. And falls down at the exact same place where he crashed on the island. You see the shoe in the tree. You see Vincent the dog come up to him and lay down by him, and the show ends with his eye closing. And it's just this beautiful full circle story. I love it. I love it so much. It was very poetic. Like, no matter what kind of bullshit, questions, frustration that the show had, it's just another one of those things. It's a story. It ends exactly how it began, much like Dark Tower. You know, I feel like the best stories do that. Thoughts? It didn't go back in time or anything like Dark Tower did.
Yes, it did.
On Lost, of course, they went back in time.
No.
But it didn't end at the same place it began. It ended at the same place, but not at the same time. It's definitely a very linear story.
The Tower or Lost?
Lost.
Oh, okay. Because they definitely go back in time.
Yeah, no. The Tower is a given. I was speaking of Lost and making fucking a Black comparison. 13. The what?
Black 13.
Yeah, Dark Tower. Black 13 caused the World Trade Center accident. That's it was funny. Implied, but man, it's crazy. Stephen King is just ridiculous. Man, and the way that they redeem Per Callahan's story, like,
homosexual priest being persecuted by vampires.
He was homosexual?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it rings a bell now.
That's very important.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's right, he had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's very important.
Yes, I just didn't remember that.
The song of Susanna when he's holding the Scopolcata up and all the, oh, look, they're watching, and then the light's gone, and then they eat him.
Yeah.
Also, that fucking Jake can get through the door.
Yeah, he didn't have fear, though. Wasn't afraid.
I would hope not at that point.
I mean, his faith didn't fail him. But he still died. It's cool. He was able to redeem himself. I love that. Stephen King, I don't know, he might be a dick, but he's also a really cool guy. What he does with his characters and stuff, man. It's fucking awesome.
There's actually a few of the newer books that he's written.
Yeah.
Revival, and then there's Mr. Mercedes and Finders Keepers. There are parts that touch on that, but his son, Joe Hill... Touch on the Tower. It's in there. But his son, Joe Hill, his stuff also ties.
Into the Dark Tower? No fucking way. No fucking way.
One of the most recent books I just finished reading is called Nosferatu, but it's spelled out on a license plate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Nosferatu or T-U. Nosferatu. There's no T. NS. 4-8-2.
8-15-16-23-42. I'm sorry, I had to.
Why you gotta do that for? Push the button.
Because this is the Lost and Dark Tower podcast, apparently.
Fuck.
Hey, man. Don't hit the player, hit the game.
The, the main antagonist, Charles Mance, is just a sick...
Charles Mance?
Charles Max.
Max.
Mance. M-A-N-X. Just okay. Fucking... This dude is... He makes some of the real-life serial killers look like Boy Scouts.
See, when I think of Charles Mance, I think of Charles Manson.
Manson, yeah. But...
Is that a purposeful thing?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not in the least. Completely opposite.
Hang on a second. What? Alright, we'll be quiet. Oh, yeah. I'll keep an eye out if you want to open the blinds so I can see out there. Yes, Mother. Alright, Mother. Thank you, Mother.
Bye, meow.
Goodbye, Mother. Ladies and gentlemen, my mother.
Dolan's mom's cool.
She's cool. She interrupted the podcast, though.
Motherfucker.
Now I have to, like, keep an eye out for roaming children.
No, but, both him and the protagonist basically build bridges to go into a different world.
I'm sorry, I was scratching. I missed that.
The antagonist and the protagonist both build bridges, like mental bridges. Like you would think of a breaker.
Like what Shimi would do?
Yes.
Okay.
To go into a different part of the world. Now, the protagonist, whose name I can't recall for some reason, uses a bicycle.
A bicycle.
To find things. Like, her focal crutch is a bike. And at first, her mother lost a bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't find the bracelet. So the kid gets on a bike, goes going, da-da-da-da-da, ride
along the bicycle. Leads her there?
Like a bicycle. And the bicycle leads her to a bridge. This bridge isn't there anymore. Bridge got blown up, kind of like demolished.
What, per Callahan experience, going over the New York...
And would go use this to go over the bridge, to go to different places and find these things. It would cause serious mental trauma to her brain, horrible nosebleeds, all this stuff. But the antagonist talks about the True Knot, talks about Midworld, Outworld.
Oh, like, fuck. Straight up talks about it. Straight
verbatim talks about these other places, and it's just, it's ridiculous. Did you read The Shining?
No.
You've never read The Shining? You've seen the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
There's a follow-up book to The Shining called Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, and that came out recently, the past year or two, right?
Yes.
About 2 years ago, I think.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's his kid, it's Danny all grown up.
Okay.
And him dealing with all the stuff he dealt with as a kid, as an adult, and also helping a younger person through it, while dealing with the antagonist, which is the True Knot, who were basically sucking the life force out of breakers, and using catastrophic offense to fuel them staying alive longer. And the World Trade Center attacks also tied into that storyline.
Really? How so?
The spoiler alert. Oh, are you going to read it? You're not going to read it. Okay. What you find out is Daniel Torrance's niece, very, very powerful breaker, very strong telekinetic, sees into the future, predicts certain events, World Trade Center attacks, one of the things he predicts. While that's going on, the True Knot is waiting for it to happen so they can siphon off the energy of all those people dying.
Oh.
It's crazy.
Did it mention Black 13?
It's out there, no. No, not so much that, but just it ties in along the lines of how he ties small things into
certain novels. This is King writing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. Sleep is King. Nosferatu
is
Joe Hill.
Okay. Joe Hill's a pseudonym, right?
No, that's his son.
Different last name?
I don't know.
It's gotta be a pseudonym. I would imagine it's a pseudonym.
Yeah, because you figure him and his wife, Tabitha.
Looking the information up, bear with us. I think a second, ladies and gentlemen, Damien is on his phone. Confirming this information is when it would be helpful to have somebody else around to look things up for us.
Dude, so we don't have to do it.
Yeah. It's like listening to Joe Rogan's podcast. He just tells this guy, Brian, who controls the tech stuff, like, Brian, hey, pull this up. Hey, pull this up on the screen. Hey, do this. Hey, do that. And he just sits there talking. Joe does. It's cool. One of the guests, a regular guest on the Joe Rogan podcast, his name is Duncan Trussell. He's got his own podcast, and he's a really big Dark Tower fan. He talks about it sometimes, which is, you know, pretty interesting.
Oh, but he only uses his last name for his pseudonym. His middle name is Hillstrom.
It's Joe Hill.
Joe Hill.
Okay.
Joseph Hill. Yeah. Yep.
Makes sense.
Looks just like his dad. That's
crazy. So if he goes places like, yeah, I'm Joe King, they're not going to be like, are you the author or are you Stephen King's son? They're just not going to connect it. Yeah. I feel like that's what I would do if I ever became famous, have a pseudonym and just...
Horns and Nosferatu are the first two books that come up. That's funny.
Yeah, I need to get back in my reading game. But with school and shit, it's like everything I read is necessities to pass, get A's and stuff. I don't know if the listeners can hear the music in the background, but... You know, it doesn't so much sound like the music anymore, but it still sounds like... I've been playing this since fucking 6 o'clock today. And it is almost 12 now.
6 hours of listening to burritos and enchiladas.
Oh my god. It makes me hungry a little bit. Those bratwursts we cooked over the open fire, they were fucking great.
They were.
It was wonderful. The cheese brats.
Is our fire still going?
I don't see it. No. I'm sure we can get it going easily if we wanted to, but it seems like it's gone out by now. What was your favorite Dark Tower book?
That's difficult. If I had to pick just one, I would definitely be torn between The Song of Susanna and The Dark Tower itself.
Yeah, those are definitely two of the most fast-paced, like, never a dull moment. Shit is happening. But I fucking love drawing over the three because it takes something that is so foreign and so obscure and so out there that you can't necessarily directly relate to or connect to, and then it literally opens the doors.
It does.
You know, and it brings a wholer, deeper connection between the two worlds. And when you catch a glimpse of that for the first time. Besides that, you know, encounter with Jake, which was cool, and in the Gunslinger book, but in drawing of the three, Roland actually, and especially at the climax when he goes into Jack Mort's body, and Roland himself is in this other world, and he fucking takes the gun belts and fucking like straps himself up, and people are staring at him, and the cops are coming after him, and you know he gets shot, but it catches the lighter and it catches on fire, and he's just controlling Jack Mort's mind, like don't move, and. Then he throws him in front of it, he throws him in front of the subway onto the third rail, and he gets ran over, and he withdraws at that moment, and man, that moment, and fucking the most intense moment, in Song of Susanna and the Dark Tower itself, there's a lot of intense moments, but in drawing, it's the fact that it gets that intense in this world for the first time, and you've been following these books for, some 1,000 or so pages at that point, and you're finally able to, or probably 2,000 pages at that point, honestly, because each book is probably about 1,000 pages. Mm-hmm. No? A couple hundred? Mm.
The tower isn't as many pages as the rest of them. The only ones. I know that the Dark Tower itself is over 1,040.
Probably the longest.
Someone pages. That one in Song of Susanna, or
the
that one.
The two longest.
Wizard in the Glass seems like the longest.
Wolves of the Cow is pretty up there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wizard in Glass is really fucking long.
It's because it's entirely too descriptive.
Yeah, that's after, the first three books were written when Stephen King was younger, but he gets older and he gets more wordy and he's been doing it for a lot longer, so he's writing and he takes his sweet fucking time and he drags everything out, which is, wonderful, but torturous at the same time. especially when you just want to fucking know what happens, and like 10 pages go by and he's describing like the shade of purple of the guy's shirt, and you're like, motherfucker, get on with the goddamn story.
How many different ways can you describe the color purple, you cunt?
Ask Stephen King, and he will, like, sit down and, you know, come back 2 days later, like, I spent the last 2 days straight writing, his eyes red, like, done a lot of coke. But, this is how many different ways you can describe purple. I don't know.
No, I like Song of Susanna a lot because of her alter ego, Mia, mm-hmm. and the whole Castle of Discordia.
Yeah.
Sequence.
Yeah, it's and very vague, but it's very descriptive, too.
From Mia's perspective, she's in the castle, and she's feasting, and she's doing all of these things, and then you have Susanna out in the swamp, stuffing frogs down her throat.
Yeah, it's just two different lives, living simultaneously through the same mind-body.
Well, it's three.
Then you got Detta, too.
Yeah, that's so it's three.
But you got Detta and Odetta, who kind of make up Susanna, and then you got Mia.
Well, there's Susanna and Odetta, and they call her Detta.
I wonder if Stephen King, like, thought about that when he did the dual personality. He was like, I could do a lot of things with a mind like this.
And then he throws Mia in there, just for shits and giggles.
And then it's like, she's eating frogs now. What will Susanna do next?
Give birth to a fucking spider child?
Yeah. Yeah, that's some crazy shit.
Mordred's ridiculous.
And, you know, if you think about it, all Mordred did was kill Oi. That's all he did. His sole purpose was to kill Oi.
Because he's an asshole.
He just killed Oi. That's the worst offense ever, though, because Oi was probably one of the best, innocent, fucking coolest characters ever.
They were fucking adorable.
Yeah, a little Billy Bumbler dog thing with some sharp teeth and a fucking kinda voice.
Imagine a very intelligent Zigzagoon.
A what?
A Zigzagoon.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Pokemon.
Yeah, I never watched that. Never got into Pokemon. Yeah. Or Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Dragon Ball, or... Yeah, no, I just never wasn't that good. Watched Digimon, but that's it.
I'm shocked and appalled.
Hey, Digimon, what's the fuck?
Digimon. Which one of them Digimon are you? They're all fucking Pikachu.
You know, the one thing, did you ever watch Digimon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most tragic thing ever is when they wrapped up the real series and they came out with the next season.
Oh, it didn't matter.
And the original, like, three or four seasons was a fucking TV show in that season.
Yeah.
I was like, no fucking way. No, I'm not having this shit. So I only watched, like, a couple episodes, and I'm just like, oh, no, as far as I'm concerned, the show ended with the third season. Or fourth, or whatever. I don't know. Rant. And rant from childhood. Oh, Damien's over here blowing some smoke rings with a cigarette. Look at that. Look at that. Would you just look at that?
What are we looking at?
That. Would you look at that? Just look at it. Look at that. Would you look at it? Would you just look at it?
I don't know. It's just crazy to think that an author was able to
weave a tale like that together.
Into so many different novels.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane.
It sounds a lot. Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just three.
Hearts in Atlantis.
Hearts in Atlantis.
That's a big one.
Nightmares and Dreamscapes.
I'm not familiar with how that connects.
It's kind of a collection of little short stories.
Okay.
That tie into it as well. Full Dark No Stars. Another collection of short stories. Also touches on it in ways. But there's just so many things that he was able to bind into the central premise of.
Like I said, Dark Tower is like a backbone. I'd say it's backbone. I don't know.
If he wrote every book with the intention of tying into that storyline, yes, but I don't think he did consciously.
I think in some way, shape, or form, everything could connect to it. I think everything exists. Like, the universes that he set up still follow the basic premise of the ideas of the universes that were set up in the Dark Tower.
To an extent, yes. But I don't know if that's what he was going for when he started writing the books.
No, I mean, that's not to say he wasn't going for it. I mean, he explains very well in the Dark Tower, and whatever that it is that he does explain, is it ties in. Like, it's a representation of what actually is in reality, in our reality, of how he's writing it, versus how the Stephen King of, you know, the Stephen King that is our Stephen King's character describes it. So I don't, shit, man. It's a mindfuck to really, like, get down in there and think about it. It's
it
very,
rapes your fucking brain.
It's very difficult to wrap your mind around, because what if in this world, Roland and Jake and Eddie come through, or not even Eddie, it's just Roland and Jake at that point. What if they come through? No, Eddie's there.
Eddie's not there till
Eddie dies, and Jake is there when Eddie dies, because they go to Angelo Santo.
So sad.
Yeah.
He does thoroughly enjoy killing off all of your favorite characters.
Yeah, cunt.
Almost as bad as Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I couldn't get into that one, man. I tried. I read, like, a significant half of the first book, but I just could not. I couldn't keep going.
It gets so much worse.
Yeah, it didn't hook me. I know, it's a good book. Like, people say that. Yeah, give it a shot. Keep reading. But, I just, yeah, not my area of interest, you know? Like, medieval shit, it's not what I look for in a book, I guess. I don't know. Definitely Dark Tower is by far my favorite series out there. Like, they touch on so much. And it's not even, like, they go to different worlds. You know, you can relate to it because part of it does happen in our world, in our New York, in our cities, in our Maine, in our, you know, it happens in America. And also, it happens in this other world, in this, like, ancient West, you know, almost post-apocalyptic. Kind of like, there's nuclear radiation and nuclear cells powering machines that are left over, and some insane shit mixed in with some, like, real shit, and it goes everywhere.
Like the Harry Potter snitches.
Again, Harry Potter, still haven't, never gotten to that one either. Yeah, I was a lame child. I watched The Simpsons. And,
I watched The Simpsons too.
Like, King of the Hill. And
I watched that too.
And 24. And Lost. That was my childhood. Not so much Lost, that came a little later, I was like a teenager, but 24, I think, came out when I was like 10 or 11. And, I used to record it, like, my VCR. I'd get a blank tape a blank tape would fit like 6 episodes on it, and I would, go up to CVS, and if I didn't have a blank tape, I'd freak out, and my mom would take me to CVS and go get the blank tape.
I have to record more. Come home. 24.
24 comes on, I fucking hit record, and then, you know, during the commercial, I hit stop, and then record it right when it comes back on. And, yeah, dude, I got a tub somewhere with fucking all of my 24 tapes. It's like a, you know, one of those storage tubs that are like, you know, maybe like 30 gallons or whatever. A tote, yeah, just full of fucking black VHSs. Like, I might have thrown them away by now. Something I should have hung on to, but, like, I feel like when they came out with, like, Netflix and I was able to pirate shit, I was just like, I don't need to hang on to these anymore. I could,
buy your music.
Yeah, back then I didn't know where technology was headed. You know? Yeah, buy your music, I guess.
Support your local artists.
Yeah, do that, and, support your local podcasters as well. GoodCleanGoods.com. Buy some soap. More products to come as well. If you're listening to this at a later date, go and check out, see what we got in our shop, because I'm not trying to just sell soap. I got other things coming. It's more in store for this company. And Approach the Lion. Check them out. Local artists to Deltona, Florida. Deland, or Deltona. Deltona, right?
Deltona.
Yeah, they're a metal band. There's some good music. They, my buddy Yankee's in it, and he's a fellow podcaster as well. He'll be on the show. You'll hear him again eventually. He'll be on probably next episode. I think he was talking about coming over tomorrow and recording an episode, which, you gotta work for, don't you, sir?
It depends on what time.
What time you get out?
Off at 8:30 tomorrow.
8:30? Yeah, hey, he might come over early in the day, because I think he's gotta work Monday.
Yeah.
I gotta do some homework tomorrow anyway, so. Yeah. Well, I feel like that about wraps it up. The Dark Tower, definitely read it if you haven't already. And if you haven't already read it and you're listening to this, what are you doing with your life? Come on, people. Go read The Dark Tower.
Goodbye, meow.
Much love. Good clean goods. Approach the Lion. Check it out. Much love. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Goodbye. Have a good one.